podcast where you get an open and honest conversation about life. Here are your hosts, Tanya and Janine.
Welcome back to Oust. I hope everyone is doing well at home with their stay-at-home orders, if that is something that's currently impacting you. Personally, I've got a PMS situation going on. It's a lot of fun right now. I'm a little cranky, but we are here. Janine, how are things going on your end?
Things on my end are pretty good. I've gotten a better hang on this homeschooling and being at home type thing that we have currently. I also have some pretty concerning numbers. Did I mess up?
Okay.
I wasn't going to say
it. It's okay. It's fine. Do you want to start
over? You want to just edit that part out? Where was I at now? Okay. I'm doing pretty good on my end. I'm getting the hang of this homeschooling thing that I have going on with the kids. And it's been getting better since we're like in a routine and we're doing our thing, and I totally understand the PMS thing. I feel you. Go ahead.
So, listeners, thank you so much for listening today. We have a very special guest. We promised to bring more relevant content, which is even more important with what's happening right now with COVID-19.
Yes, as you know, I did some research and I found some pretty alarming numbers, which you said we would definitely get into a little later. And it's concerning. It's alarming. It's kind of scary. You know, people really need to look at what's going on and take it serious.
Yeah, there's so much going on with this health crisis. And we've actually invited Annie. She is a health professional. And she's going to talk with us about different aspects of this crisis. Just this week, there were a couple of stories that we all read up on. And we're going to dive into that and share it with you. It's just a different time. Annie actually comes to us with years of experience in the health profession and has experience in health crises. And oh, darn. Okay.
That's okay. Hi.
Darn it.
That's okay. Well, thanks for having me. I do have experience in health crises. I have about 25 years of experience in emergency services. So 13 years as a paramedic and then another 12 as an emergency room nurse. So. Yeah.
That's huge. Thank you very much for, you know, this is going to be our new mantra, being sure that we thank, you know, our emergency services as well as our nurses and doctors, because I don't think up until this point we've given them enough.
No, it's a thankless
job. Enough credit. Oh, that's scary to hear. So, you know, just this week, you know, I know the world is watching. You know, certainly in this little group, we've been doing a lot of reading as it pertains to what our health professionals are experiencing, even down to the point where we've got health professionals that are quitting,
right,
and leaving because, you know, for various concerns, certainly their own health and the health of their families. So it's striking to hear that you have to make choices, right, like these. And I'm happy. I'm sorry to say I'm happy I'm not one of them, in the sense of, you know, I don't work with patients. But a big thank you to our emergency services, our policemen, our firemen who are out there, you know, helping people that are in significant need through this. So thank you. So, Janine, you have some stats that you did some research on, and I would love to start diving into that.
When I was looking over the numbers, I actually, even before we started with this podcast, I was still looking at the numbers. Like, do I have these numbers not right? Like, I even went back. I was like, let me read this article again and make sure that I have this stuff accurate. And so what I have, I have a few different references according to CNN. Reported cases, 243,000 in the U.S. with more than 5,900 deaths. Wow. And I use the word reported because, like, you know, we discussed previously, T, that some of these cases aren't even reported because they're not being tested.
Right. I can attest to that. Working in the emergency room, we were not testing for several months when we knew that this was out there. Wow. I guess maybe we didn't have the testing, or it wasn't at the crisis level that it is now. But we certainly, there certainly were more cases than have been reported.
I believe that. I absolutely do. I have no doubt. And that's one of the things that I would like to touch on a little bit later when we shoot into the other articles, because one of the articles that I read even implied, and the person was scared to share their identity, but they implied that it even had a, within the hospital, that it was treated differently, or the equipment that you had was according to what level you were as far as economically in the hospital. So like if you were higher staff, then you had access to better equipment or more equipment or whatever. So that's another, that's another that I read. Also, 6.6 million people filing for unemployment. They say that this is the highest claims in history. And again, emergency and medical gear and supplies are almost depleted. 1 million cases globally, according to Johns Hopkins University. And something that hits a little bit more closer to home when it comes to us would be the stats that I have for North Carolina. According to the news, in 2,024 cases in North Carolina, 17 deaths. State of South Carolina, which is really, of course, you know, that's me, 1,554 cases with 31 deaths. And our hometown of New York, it saddened me when I even looked at the numbers, but we're talking about deaths, not cases, but it tops at 1,500 deaths.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I've heard some staggering statistics also. I heard the governor actually speak the other day from New York, and he said they are needing, which they don't have yet, they still need 144,000 more hospital beds. Wow. That's wow. I mean, that just blows my mind.
Wow. Yeah, I think that they're actually converting. I want to say I saw this possibly on CNN. I don't quite remember where, but they are converting the Jacob Javits Center to a hospital currently. Mm-hmm. And they have the Comfort, USS Comfort, docked to bring another, I think, 1,000 plus beds for patients that are in need there. It's a different time. And it, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but my heart hurts for our hometown because, well, I'm grateful to currently not be there. You know, we all have family there. And it's, yeah, it makes me sad. Like you see some of the videos of the the makeshift morgues that they have in the back of hospitals, like in Elmhurst Hospital. There was a video about that.
Oh, I know. That just tugged at my heartstrings. So as a nurse, you know, I mean, I'm in the profession because I care about people and I love taking care of people. So when I saw that, I mean, I just immediately, I want to go work in New York and just help them, you know? But, you know, then you got to think about your own personal safety and health and risks and your family. Right. So, yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And, you know, I may have alluded a little bit to this when we initially started, but, you know, there are, you know, folks who are quitting because they have their own health concerns. You know, they have their familial concerns. And how do you, you know, how do you navigate that? I'm happy to not be in that position, but at the same time, I think, you know, it's such a difficult one. It's such a difficult decision. And again, thank you for the folks who are out there. So I'm going to bring up there were two articles that we were focusing in on in preparing for this for this episode. And one was regarding a nurse from Georgia who had pre-existing health conditions and she has children. And she was assigned to work in a COVID, I think it was a COVID floor, if I'm not mistaken. And we found this article. Mm-hmm. It was?
A unit.
Okay. So this article, we're referencing it from Inside Edition, but her video pretty much went viral.
Right.
So I'm sure a lot of folks are talking about it. This is just the source that we used, and it was on InsideEdition.com. And you know, she has children. And, you know, how do you balance that out with feeling like, hey, you know what? Yeah, this is my love, this profession is taking care of people, but I have to take care of my people as well. And that includes my kids. So my kids are my priority. And that's what she made that decision. And rightly so, if the roles were reversed, I'd kind of feel the same way. You know?
Yeah.
And
I'm going to shut up.
Sorry, Janine, was that you?
It was. What you got?
Oh,
I was trying not to cut you off. I was like, oh, shut up, Janine. Just wait.
No. Go ahead. Throw it out there. Throw it out there. Go in.
You know, when I saw the initial video and then I saw the interview, the one that you sent me earlier, and I think some people can be really judgmental when it comes to certain things. Like some of the comments were, you know, pretty positive and understanding to the position that she was placed in. And then you had some other people that was really like, you know, well, she took that oath and da 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 da. And I understand the oath thing because, you know, I was in law enforcement. So we have to take an oath. Right. So I get that. But they're putting these people in situations where they have to make choices that they should not have to make. And it's not pointing blame. You know, I could look at her video, even the one that she sent me today, and could tell that was a really hard decision. And she said she regrets making that decision, but you know, it's easy for people on the sidelines to say what they could have, what they should have, what they would do, but they're not in that situation. And it's sad. You know, both videos and articles that I read, it was just sad. It was like, yo, what would I do? I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would go either. You know, I have, you know how I am. You know, I have 7 kids. So I don't know what decision I would have made. I might have quit. Who knows? I mean, I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just sad. Like when I watched the video a few times, and that was another one of those hurtful situations. Like, wow, you can tell that this was really a hard decision to have to choose between, hey, my home, and hey, my job, and these people that I want to care for. It's just sad.
And I think you pointed out something very important. Like, nobody, I don't care who you are, nobody has the right to judge you for the decisions that you're making. Because it's your life, your life, literally, not your overall, your life as a concept, but this is your life, like your health, your life. And no one has the right to judge anyone for whatever decisions that they make, especially when it comes to this. And especially when you consider that there, you know, our health professionals do not have the appropriate gear.
Right. I think the people that are making these judgments, though, are not speaking from experience. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, think about a nurse and then think about any other profession. Okay. You usually start your profession young and you work toward retirement, right? You work 20, 30 years until you retire. Well, most people started their profession young out of college. They didn't have children and they were ready to go and do all this stuff, you know? But once you have kids, it changes everything, you know? I mean, if you have children, you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yep.
It changes your priority. When I was 20 on the streets of Brooklyn, you know, as a paramedic, my priority was just, you know, adrenaline and having fun and you know, saving any life I could save. But then once you have children, your priority is different. It's the children. And then I go and have the adrenaline, you know? So, so that woman, I saw the video and my heart goes out to her.
Right.
And I have felt that very way, you know, because I've worked through different situations. I worked at Ground Zero. I worked through the Ebola scare. So, I mean, I have been there, you know, getting dressed, putting on my clothes, going into the hospital and going, is it worth it to be here? Like, do I need this job that bad that I'm going to risk my life?
Right.
You know, I worked, like I said, at Ground Zero, and 7 of my very close friends made the same decisions as me, but they never came out.
Yeah.
You know, they died. So, you know, do they regret that decision? One day I'll ask him in heaven. But if you're not in that position, it's so easy to just judge instead of think rationally.
Right.
So sorry, didn't mean to
absolutely
interrupt, but... No, that's
no, great. No. No, absolutely. We're happy that you kind of were able to shed some light on that, because it's real. You know, we do our best to make sure that this is a no judgment zone. And we do ask same thing for our listeners, that you kind of have that same, you know, everyone is different, but try to have that mindset when you're talking about times like these, because it's a different time. You know, as Annie shared, hey, you know what? 7 of her friends made the same decision that she did, and they didn't come out of it.
Right.
And so if you put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then what about their children?
Right.
You know, now these children have no parents.
Right.
And that woman in that video, you know, she said her kids don't have anywhere to go. Well, I mean, did anybody volunteer and say, hey, I'll watch your kids so you can work and you can, you know? No, instead they were passing judgment.
Right.
And, you know, I don't agree with that.
Right. But... Right. Agree. Yep. Yep. That's huge. That's very huge.
In fact,
I think that everyone needs to kind of
childcare for healthcare workers. Like, is that even on the news? Does anyone even discuss that? You know, who is watching these healthcare workers' kids? Because when they pick them up at the end of the day, like you would from your 9-to-5 job, you know, are you exposed to something? You know, do you need 14 days of quarantine or whatever before you can, you know, visit with your whoever the childcare person is? So I think, you know, I haven't heard any discussions about that. I would be curious to know.
You know, it's kind of, you just kind of, at some point you kind of have to turn it all off before you, because it's very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But, and I believe in that same segment, they were talking about some, now this is New York specifically, where hotels were offering their rooms for emergency services, you know, medical professionals, so that way they would not take that home. Now, as far as North Carolina is concerned or South Carolina, I have not read anything that pertains to how that part is being addressed. I do know that some of our daycare centers are remaining open for various reasons. And I'm going to assume that a big part of it is to, manage the care of the children of our health professionals.
And emergency.
But that is a big piece of it,
Right. And don't forget, like, law enforcement, they still have to go to work. They don't get a timeout. I know about that because, I did that for quite a number of years. And also our prison staff. They don't get a break either. So
Right. Well, I mean, they're talking about releasing some of those low level prisoners because some of the, they don't want the jail system to become overrun with this virus because there's a, social distancing is kind of not as, I guess it's, never been in jail, knock on wood, anything happen. But you know what I mean? Like, how do you be socially distanced in a prison? Like, how do you
distance yourself? You can't. I know, because I used to work there. I've worked in the prison for 5 years. So I can tell you for a fact, if a prison, and that's part of the reason why they probably, that's the reason why they stopped visitations. Because if it's got into a prison, you're talking about a confined space. You're talking about almost like a hospital, for example. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to, it'll spread worse probably in the prison than it would in a hospital. But nonetheless, like I said, working in a prison, especially when it's overcrowded, I've worked in the prison where sometimes it would be three inmates in one room. And I don't mean a room like how we vision a room. I mean, they look like damn near a closet. And it's like enough room for two beds on one side and maybe another bed on the other side. And usually that was just a mattress on the floor. I've seen it where it's been so overcrowded. It's been three in a room and then they've been out in the Bay Area because it was just too many. So social distancing in a prison, I can't imagine that's real successful. And that can be dangerous, like I said, for the inmates and the staff. And if they're not testing, I can guarantee they're probably not going to be testing in a prison. If they're not testing out here in the general public, I can imagine they're not testing in a prison. That's just,
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit, I think, on the last episode that we recorded, because I feel like my general consensus is that the numbers are skewed. We don't really know how many cases are there. So even though it seems like, let's say for North Carolina, on the grand scheme of things, it may seem relatively low. But the fact of the matter is,
we
don't have adequate testing, then people are not getting tested. You've got a lot of high profile people that seem to be getting tested frequently enough that it's being announced on the news, but the average person has certain limitations as to when they can get tested. Now, for whatever, I don't know if that's a dive too much into the weeds of that, but that's what it seems like to me. For the average person, you're kind of like, well, if you are X, Y, or Z, if you're over 60, if you have the fever, that's when they start looking at it a little bit more seriously as far as getting you tested. But that means that the numbers are not right because you have people, I think that the term, is it asymptomatic? Is that the right term?
Yes. That
you're carrying, but you don't have symptoms? Okay. So for the folks that are asymptomatic, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My the app went a little wonky for a second. So for the folks that are asymptomatic, they could be carrying it. So you don't know how many cases there truly are.
Right. And it hit at the same time as the flu season.
So how many people were tested for the flu and it was assumed that they had the flu and not tested for the COVID and sent home like, oh, you just have a virus, you know, you don't have the flu, you're negative, but they were never given the other test and they quite possibly could have had that.
Right.
Right.
And then it makes everybody, maybe it's just me, but it's scary because this is a season, like you said, flu season, and people like me that have allergies and there's pollen and stuff. And so the way things are, if you even cough or sneeze, people are automatically looking at you.
6 feet.
Yeah,
six feet.
Right. So like if I have to get stuff out of the store, like I'm literally like scared, like let me not cough in this mug because they might jump me in here. I don't know, because people are scared of what they don't understand, and the way you know, the numbers, the videos, the stuff that's going on. So people are scared. So shoot, I'm scared. I cough and I look at myself, well, wait, I'm not running fever, let me see. You know.
So one of the other articles that I thought was, it was a bit of a doozy in the sense that a hospital forbade, that's such an old-fashioned term. Sorry. Get over that. I forbade. All right. Let me start over. So one of the other concerning articles that we read when we were talking about this episode was, and this we used CCN as a reference, but this is another article that I believe, or another story that is also a viral story. This is just what we used to prepare it. But there was a nurse, I think it was the Chicago area, who was not allowed to wear a N95 mask. I think it was in the hallways of a hospital. I can't imagine what that must feel like. You know, I'm here. I am a nurse. I'm trying to serve our patients, but I want to be protected. Right. And for a hospital to say that to, you know, that's one of your own. Like, you know, we're supposed to take care of our own, right? That's one of your, and I don't mean that as a, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. I don't mean this as a way to exclude anyone else, but we got to take care of our own. It's the same concept as taking care of our families, right? Take care of our home families, we take care of our work families. So it's that same thing. And if you're not, from the average person's perspective, looking at a hospital not taking care of their own people, why would I want to be affiliated with a hospital like that? Or why would I want any of my family to go to a hospital like that when they're not even taking care of their own people? How well are they going to take care of my people?
And I don't understand.
Well, I don't.
I'm sorry. No, go right ahead, Annie. I'm so sorry. Go right ahead.
Well, it's okay. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I don't know the details of that story, but I will say a couple things. One is, you know, before the whole COVID, you really shouldn't be wearing your mask in the hallway, because if you were exposed to someone and it was droplets, it could be on the mask and you could carry it with you. So that could be one reason. And another reason is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she had brought the mask in on her own. And so perhaps they were worried about what she brought in, whether it was effective, you know, whether it was a legitimate respirator mask or N95, or if, you know, if it was contaminated. So I'm not really sure what the details are, but, you know, there's two ways to look at it. If they were not being supportive of her and wanted her to put herself at risk, then that's terrible. And I don't think any institution should do that to any employee. But before the whole COVID-19 also, in order to wear that mask, you had to take a test every year. It wasn't like something you just hand to somebody and say, here, put this mask on, because it's a special kind of mask and you have to wear it a certain kind of way for it to be effective. You can't just put it on your face like a ski mask, you know, like just put it on and it's going to work. It doesn't work that way. You have to have a certain kind of seal, and there's a training, and you have to wear a certain size that fits your face. So, I mean, it's not as simple as it might sound. So just throwing that out.
Right. No, that's good. So here's why that's important. That's so important to this conversation. That's the big piece, right? So, you know, I'm not in the medical profession by any means, but I would look at it and approach it from how I approached it. Like, why can't you wear this mask? Because it is protecting the person. But on the flip side, now we have we have better insight as to why hospitals may say what they're saying. You know, are you wearing it properly? Like, I think that was important to know, as far as, you know, if you're bringing it in from home, what are you bringing with you?
Right. Or, you know, everybody's buying them online, and truth be told, are they getting trained on how they actually wear the mask? Because if you put the mask on and you don't know how you're supposed to use it, you have a false sense of security. You know, you're thinking that you're protected, but you're not. So you may put yourself at a risk that you wouldn't have necessarily put yourself into before you had the mask.
Good point.
So. Yep.
Yep. That's important.
See, now, if I would have given you a mask, I would have taught you how to use it.
Just saying. She's like, here's the female's version.
That's a crash course. That's how you do it.
So here's my question. I do have a question. So, you know, everyone's kind of, you know, we have severe restrictions when it comes to, you know, where we can go, what we can, not severe, let me rephrase that. You know, we have restrictions, right? So when I go to my local grocery store, you know, I feel there's a part of me, like we try not to go in the stores as much as we possible. We'll do our best to do a pickup I've done this before this point, but even more so now because for the obvious. But so, you know, we may go as a family, but my husband will be the one that goes in. And he mentioned to me, he's like, there was a lady in there with gloves on.
Oh, did he see me? My bad. That would be me.
But from what I'm understanding, that's, you can let any virus travel more if you're using gloves in the store, because most people don't know how, or anywhere, they don't know how to use it effectively. So is that similar to when it comes to the mask?
Yep. It's the same false sense of security. So as a healthcare professional, I know how to don and doff my gloves. Those are the medical terms. I know how to put on and take off my gloves so that I'm not contaminating myself with my contaminated gloves. So if you put on these gloves and you go in and you touch everything, and then you just take them off and touch them with your hands anyway, you have completely done nothing to help yourself. You know, like, it's probably worse. Whereas if you were barehanded, you would just try not to touch it.
Well, I actually do know how to, just so that we know, if he saw me with the gloves on, I want you to know that I do know how to properly take off the gloves.
Well, you have experience. That's different.
You're right. Like, every time, that's true, though. Like, you see people in the store with the mask and the gloves on. Like, I saw a whole family. I don't know if it was a whole family. Let me not say that. I don't want to assume, but I saw a lady and two children, whether they was hers or her sister's or whoever they were, they all had the whole gear on, like we was in that movie. What's that darn movie? Outbreak. I do, by the way, until this happened. And this movie is that great anymore. But anyway, so it's like, you know, they're going like hazmat and shit. And I'm like, dang, I just sent him in there with a little do-rag around his mouth and some gloves on. So, you know, I don't know. It's like, people are scared. We're all scared. We're all scared, but stuff like that, and you feel like, maybe I'm unprepared, because I don't have
Well, did I share this with you, Andy? I may have shared this story with you, but Jenny, I don't think I shared it with you, but we go to the store for our meats, and we had asked the butcher to, hey, prepare this box for us. And there had been a family in the store. One family member actually had a mask on. And this was in the beginning stages of COVID, before we knew what we know now. And the butcher is preparing our box. But this family somehow manages to start digging into our box.
Uh-oh.
I almost lost my shit. I almost lost my shit. I had to tell my husband, I'm like, I need you to handle that. Because I said something, it would have been full on New York. Because whenever you touch every box of food, now to be fair, you know, on a bigger perspective, like, you know, this could have happened if the meat was just kind of laid out how it normally is. For some reason, the fact that she was in my box, I was like, no! I had to walk away. That's how mad I was. I'm like, can you please handle that? But hey, right. You know what? This is real. I mean, these are conversations that everyone out there is having. You know, do I go to the store? You know, there's a shortage of freaking toilet paper. Right. I mean, toilet paper.
Look, this is all I'm going to say about toilet paper. This is what I'm going to say. Okay. So, look, anybody that has ever had some hard times, and that's all I'm saying about the toilet tissue. Look, anybody that has some hard times, I don't know why these people are tripping about this toilet tissue, because, yeah. Look.
Spring is here. Spring is here.
Honey.
Get a leaf.
You better get the paper towel and rub it together and make it kind of soft and do your thing. You know, I mean, these people tripping. Like, I ain't gonna fight over no toilet tissue. I can improvise, honey. I know how to use soap and water and a washcloth if I got to. Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I know someone personally who just bought like 3 bidets for their house. And they're like, we don't need any toilet tissue. We're good.
Stop. That's how they do it overseas. And in Europe? I hear about those things.
We just need some extra water. Right. And we're good.
Water? I mean, what did they do before toilet tissue? I know there had to be a time before toilet tissue. I know it had to be. I don't get it. Right.
A leaf going in the bushes. Oh, man. See, you gotta find the humor in everything. It's either that or cry. I don't know which one sounds better. You.
laughing sounds good. Sounds better.
Uh-huh. But you know what? I think, you know, on a serious note, I really love how you're able to, Annie, bring some of, you know, that perspective as far as using, you know, this equipment properly, and even down to gloves. Like, I didn't realize that, hey, there's a way that you need to be using this to make it effective. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, hey, when you go to your grocery store, just, you know, stay 6 feet apart or more if need be.
And don't touch everything. Just touch what you need.
Yeah, like, don't touch the fruit.
And how about leave toilet tissue for others? How about that? Yes. At least.
One pack of peas, please. You know, this... If you see 8 cans of tuna, maybe take a couple and leave a couple for somebody else.
Well, you know, stores have instituted limitations. Like, I went to... I don't know, Whole Foods or somewhere that I don't go like all of the time. So every time I go there, I normally get a lot of stuff so that I don't have to go back very often because it's not nearby. But they stopped me and said that I was only allowed to buy a certain amount of things which I thought was interesting. Ooh. I mean, so people, they're putting limitations on how much you can buy of things.
I'm yes, sorry, and I saw ahead. That at at Walmart. No, it's okay. I'll make it very, very quick. I saw that Walmart. No, I guess I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but anyway, Walmart, where everybody shops.
Oh, I said Whole Foods. Oops.
Oh, it's fine. They're starting to limit what you can buy when you go to the store. So is it deemed essential, like your food and your cleaning? And if it's not, and that's not here in North Carolina, but I saw that an article about somewhere in the Midwest where they're only limiting to what you can buy based on, is it an essential, or is, if it's not, you can't buy it. Like, they're literally closing off certain sections of the store.
So you can't buy a TV? You're cooped up in the house?
Honey, there's some lies at stake. I tell you, I don't know what they're going to
They better make it essential.
They're going to be either lies made or lies. It's one or the other. If you know, I'm just saying. Give these people a TV and quit tripping. I'm...
No, I don't think. Oh God,
Lee, right?
No TV.
Well, there'll be a lot of babies born in about 10 months.
No kidding.
Or a lot of husbands and wives in divorce court.
Oh my gosh! Seriously, like, oh my gosh! Like, I know. I know straight up. I was PMSing. Okay, but I kind of ripped my husband a new one last night because I'm like, didn't I ask you to do this a week ago?
You got We're all stuck in a house. I'm just saying.
I ripped him a new asshole. I feel like I didn't. I feel a little bit guilty about it. But in the moment, I was like, but.
Well, the court is closed, so be nice.
You have to file next year, boo. You have to file next year.
Hey, that's real. Well, now I feel like a real jerk because you know what, he did agree to do our intro. So on that note, I have to be extra nice. Oh, good Lord. See, our listeners, I'm trying to bring the humor. So.
Like, I'm a process for the TV. This was on my mind. Y'all, listen.
Well, I mean, I hope that they don't, because you're right, like, shit gets broken.
Right.
The little guy and his cousin, one of the two did it at one point, broke a TV in our house one time. I was so pissed off. But what happens if the TV breaks?
Dang.
And I know we're joking about the whole, like, TV thing, but one thing that I found is that, we talked about this the other day when we did the last podcast, is that I found that it gives me time to know my children better. I mean, yes, we have the TV and we have the electronics and we have the schoolwork, which usually makes me want to rip my hair out, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better with that. I only have like one bald spot instead of like two or three from the other. So it's coming together.
Well, Annie gave me the best piece of advice. And I think I shared this with you. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or it was when we were talking. Yeah, it was just you and I. We were just talking. And as far as when you're at a certain grade level, it's just repetition. So please give yourself a break and give that kid a break.
Really? Because you do first, second, and third grade, you do the same thing just over and over again. And you dig a little bit deeper each time. So, you know, cut the kids some slack and they'll get it again next year.
And again.
And again. It's really, you know, I hate to say this, but I had this conversation with someone earlier today. The silver lining is that families are together right now in a culture where usually both parents are out working all day and there's no one with the children. So families are together. They are deepening those bonds that have so needed to be nurtured. I mean, the whole family structure, that's like a whole nother conversation and podcast. But I mean, if you look at the blessing in it is that families hopefully will come out the other end more stronger.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, And I think that's part of our good news. One of the things that we're trying to do now is we've changed our structure just a little bit in the sense that we want to end off with good news. And that right there is good news, right? Yes, we're stuck in the house, but the good news is we know how to better appreciate the time that we have with each other.
Right.
You get to love on those babies you have.
Well, at least most days. Right, like me and my bae was just talking about that like earlier. It's like this gives me more time to, because you know I shared with you that that I used to do one-on-one days with the kids. Where they would have just their day separated from everybody. And when I have the one individual child by themselves, they are these awesome people. It's when they get together that I don't understand. I'd be so damn confused. I'm like, it's the same kid I just had. And it was like admiring this kid, like, yo, this kid is dope, he's mine. And then he gets with the brothers and sisters. I'm like, what was they with shit? I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Like, what is there to argue about? Like, I don't understand. So, like, it gives me the opportunity to kind of, like you said, enjoy those moments because I think about my youngest daughter, and I look at my oldest daughter who now is graduated earlier and she's working and she has all of these goals in mind. And I look at the difference between them and their ages and I'm like, wow, I was like, yo, where did that time go? Because see, when I had my older daughter, you know, I didn't have this. I didn't have this time. I did do the one-on-one days, but like you said, I had to work. You know, at one point of her childhood, I was a single parent. Then I got married. I was still a single parent. And then, you know, so like I had to work. And I feel like, dang, she grew up so fast. And so I kind of enjoy having the schedule that I have, like even before this happened, working in the school district allowed me to be on the same schedule as my kids. And so even though the pay was kind of sucky, it was, you know, I'm just being honest. It's a whole nother topic, you know. But, you know, I stayed working with the district because I knew I didn't have to worry about the holidays and the summers and the nights like so many other jobs that I've had in the past. So, you know, and this time right here gives me time to reflect on all those things that you said. Like, you know, normally in my busy day, I don't even get to really do anything but get home, cook dinner, do homework. And then I'm looking at them like, y'all ain't tired because I'm tired. I'm tired. It's like,
get the homework done. We just did this. It's like we get in this a little bit of a drill sergeant mode, right? Because you're like, get in the house, right. Let's get this homework done, let's get right. this dinner done, let's get these baths done. Oh,
right.
We have 15 minutes right. to hang out. That's out it. Out True. Of a full day. Yep. So it changes things a lot. So I think that's the big piece. That's the big news is, hey, we get to spend quality time with our family. Janine, I know that we were just kind of recording yesterday.
He got was that just yesterday? I don't know when it was.
Was it yesterday? I don't know. I'm listening.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that too. That's a good thing too. That I don't know. Like, is today Monday? Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? I don't know because it seems like it's so much. I just be honest. Like, I have to look at my phone and be like, oh yeah, today is that day.
So I do have good news. I accomplished one of my goals that I had planned. I'd wanted to accomplish by the summer, and I have, and it's a mandatory class that I have to take, but yay! I took it and it's done. Yay,
congratulations.
So good news. Annie, you got any good news for us?
I wasn't prepared for that question. Let me think about it. Come back.
I know.
What?
Wait, what?
That you're gonna start. Which class?
I'm
starting several classes online.
She doesn't stop.
I'm a workhorse. Like... Yes.
Well, I'm going because everyone is homeschooling now, and they're not used to it, and I am because I do homeschool. I am going to start a virtual class for homeschoolers, like just for other people's kids that I know, and like let them join up with us and do some story time and that kind of stuff, and give their parents, you know, a good 30-minute break or whatever during the day. That's one class. Another class I'm going to be starting is doing a Financial Peace University class. So I'm going to host it. I don't make any money. It's free for me to teach it. It's volunteer. But I feel like this is a good time where people are at home, where they can sit back and maybe reevaluate their financial situation, since it's probably changed for everyone. And it'd be a good time to sit down and look at a budget, because I'm sure finances have changed and are less. And, you know, so maybe we could work through that together as a group. So that's something that I'm starting online. Is that good?
Good news. No, that's perfect. Hey, by the way, so if you're still down, I think that we'd love it if we could do maybe like a 10 points of parent homeschooling tips. We definitely want to do an episode on that. So that'd be great if, so this will be our formal invitation.
Well, thank you. Now that I can talk a lot about. I mean, I can talk a lot about nursing too, but you know, anyway.
I know. I gotcha. Okay. So that's almost a wrap. I think to our listeners, always thank you to the people who are out there that are fighting the front, you know, fighting this fight on the front, the proverbial front lines. Thank you. We know how important that is, and we value that. So I want to stress again, thank you. Janine, did you have anything that you wanted to?
No, I thank you again. Annie, for that input, especially about that mask, because I'm telling you, I had my own opinion about that whole thing. I was like, the disrespect, how disgusting. But then you explained it in a way that I was like, oh, okay, so I got it. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you just joining us. I think that's real dope. And again, just to follow up on what T said, I think for everybody that's out there dealing with this and not running from it, because I think I would run. I'm just going to be honest. I think I'd be gone. I think I would have quit too. But, you know, thanks to all of those that are not quitting it. They are helping those that really need it. And I can't wait till you come back about this homeschool thing, honey, because that's what I need help with.
I think everybody needs help with that right now.
Girl, let me come because I don't even think I can wait till we do this episode. Girl, let me see what's this.
The struggle is real.
I'm losing my edges. The gray hair. Look.
All right. Well, I promise we'll try to do it within. Okay. Yeah, we'll get it done.
Well, I want to thank you, ladies, for inviting me on here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for coming. We really do appreciate it. And listeners, hey, listen. You know, stay strong. This is a very hard time, you know, on all accounts. But you know, do things to keep your minds active. If you need to, turn off the news. You know, sometimes we have to do that just to kind of bring us a little piece of zen. And there's apps out there that you can use to kind of help with the anxiety of it, because I can imagine, you know, I get anxiety. I know quite a few people do, and trying to manage that while managing the stress of, because it, like, you know, like Annie said, there's this whole big piece, like even the financial piece, you know, the health piece.
And
the
depression. Don't forget
how
depression
do you manage
because.
That?
Don't leave that out.
Yep, don't forget that. So don't be afraid to reach out to your loved ones. Seek help if you need it. There are groups out there on social media that can help. There's people offering to, hey, if you need someone to talk to, just send me a message. Let's talk. There are apps that you can listen to kind of help some of that, calm some of that anxiety. I use one. I'm not going to say what it is because I'm not advertising for it.
Right.
And they're not paying me. But so on that note, but I subscribe because this is a real thing. It's a very stressful time. And we kind of spoke to this a little bit. We do have something coming that we want to kind of put out there that may be able to help, maybe a place where you can kind of just sound out your thoughts, whatever it is. We're not quite there into implementing it yet, but we're talking about it. But make sure that you are taking care of yourself, okay? Thank you so much for listening. And we're out.
Thank you for listening to the Else Now podcast with Janine and Tanya. For a full episode guide, go to their website at elsenow.com. You can also follow them at facebook.com/elsenow.